Well, so here's the thing. Today is a little different for me, and I didn't prepare any jokes, and I probably really should have because I had them pass out Kleenex, so I'm sorry in advance. This is going to be interesting, guys. When Sky was sharing a couple weeks ago, I was in the back listening. And I was thinking about my living out of some of what she was talking about. And just kind of that journey of healing, right? And a lot of times in our world, we think about healing and we just think physical, right? And that's really, really short-sighted of us, because healing is about a lot more than physical. And yes, we want to believe for physical healing. But you know what? The more, maybe this is sacrilegious, I don't know. But I really think the way more important healing that happens, and the stuff God actually cares a lot more about, is our own healing. The healing that happens in us as we work through our own stories. And so as Sky was speaking a couple weeks ago, I found myself just kind of reflecting on different parts of my story. And, you know, Jenny has mentioned a few times, I've probably mentioned a few times, that I've done these things called story groups, which is it's like a small group. It runs for 8 or 9 weeks. And you get together with a group of people and each of you share a story of your life. And it's not a 30,000 foot view story. It's a 600 to 800 word story of some specific moment in your life, where usually like between the ages of like 4 and 18, where you experience something painful or not. Sometimes they can be not painful stories, right? And so for me, I found that to be really a very helpful way for me to care for myself and to let God show me things that he's wanting to work in me and in my life and places that he wants to bring healing. So this is a little different service for me today because, one, I don't have a lot of scriptures. I do have some. But I'm going to share a story that I brought to my story group a little over a year ago, and then kind of what I wrote to my dad. And if you were here a little over a year ago, you might remember that I mentioned that I had, before I wrote my message for that day, I felt like I had to write a letter to my dad. And I had zero intention of ever sharing that letter in any kind of public forum. But I feel like that's what I'm, part of what I'm supposed to do today. So, Doreen and Don passed out Kleenex. I know that I brought Kleenex up with me. There's some boxes scattered around. I'm not predicting that people are going to cry. I just know for me, right, when I read this story, I'm going to be connected to the 14-year-old in the story that I'm reading you today. And just because I don't want people to get triggered or, you know, it's the story of the day of my dad's funeral. And my ask as I go through this is, like, I'm going to be emotional, right? You guys have been around here long enough to know how well I do emotions. But it's okay, right? I'm okay. I'm probably going to cry. I'm going to be sad. There may be funny things in my story. It's okay for you to laugh. It's okay for you to cry. I just ask that you think about you, right? Take care of you. You don't need to worry about your neighbor. You don't need to worry about anybody but yourself, right? And just pay attention to what comes up in you as I read this story, because the thing about our stories is, like, the details might be different, but the themes and the hurts and the wants and the desires, like, We all share those things. And so there's a couple things before I start. So a big part of this, like you might say, where is this in the Bible, right? The Bible is a story, guys. It's lots of stories of lots of people's lives. Like, it's all over in the Bible. But there's not necessarily one verse that we can point to or one passage to point to. But this is woven throughout the pages of the Bible, right? This type of experience. And God created us as humans. And part of being human is having emotion and having feelings and having things that we don't know how to communicate always, being wounded, finding healing. And so in Genesis, the kind of premise for this comes out of, in Genesis, when Hagar leaves Sarah and Abraham, when she's pregnant, and Sarah told Abraham to get rid of her or whatever, and Sarah treated Hagar so badly that Hagar ran away. And, you know, part of Hagar's story that we don't really think about is she was an Egyptian and she was a slave, right? She had no choice in the situation she found herself in, and she was a foreigner, right? She didn't know Abraham's God. The Egyptians had their own gods. The Egyptians made a big deal about their gods. And Hagar is in the wilderness, and an angel of God shows up to Hagar and says, "Hagar, slave of Sarah, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarah," she answered. You know, those two questions, and there's an implied third question there, right? Where have you come from? Where are you now? And where are you going? Right? So that's what this is about. And for me today, this feels like a big sacrifice, right? It's the sacrifice of obedience. I don't know what God has for people who are here today. I don't know how he's going to use this. I don't need to know any of those things, right? But I'm just trying to be obedient. So I keep saying that and then avoiding getting, it's like I'm stalling or something. Those of you with parents are like, come on, get on with it. Okay, so like I said, this story is from the day of my dad's funeral. And I've mentioned before that my dad died when I was 14. He was a school administrator who died in a farming accident one summer. And it was a complete freak accident, but it was very unexpected. It was also happened to be the day of my parents' 21st wedding anniversary, and it was the Friday before Father's Day weekend that year. So, like, there were a lot of extra things happening just in the context of this story. All right. Oh, and just to warn you, when I finish reading the story, I'm probably just going to be quiet for a minute or two while I collect myself. So just don't freak out. I sit at the end of the pew in the front of the church, as far from my mom and my two younger brothers as I could get, without the separation being obvious. The pulpit and altar area are covered with flower arrangements and potted plants, and candelabra with candles blazing line the front of the church. If not for the casket sitting in the center aisle, it might be a wedding, but it's not a wedding, it's a funeral. And no matter how much I wish it wasn't true, my dad is in that casket. This moment feels surreal, like you need to pinch yourself to see if it's happening in real life. The church is jammed full of people. The walk down the aisle as they seated us before the service began was long, awkward, and unnerving. I didn't know what to do with my face. Was I supposed to look at people, let them catch my eye, smile, frown, be sad? No one told us what was expected. I saw a few people's eyes that day, saw their sorrow and empathy for me, and I felt unworthy of it. I am wearing clothes I hate, my white skirt and pink sweater, because Mom wouldn't let my brothers or I wear anything black today. Before we left home, she took us aside and made sure we knew that today was a day of celebration because Dad is in heaven with Jesus, and we are celebrating his homegoing today. She justified it all with scripture. We're also not supposed to cry today for the same reasons. My gaze fell on the casket, and my thoughts went to the sealed letter I had added last night at the family service, right before they closed the casket. I poured out my heart to him, but it's too late for it to matter. I'm 14, and until now, I was sure that our relationship was going to start getting better one day soon. But now my last memory of time spent with him is the worst fight we ever had. That fight was recent enough that we were still in the cooling off period where we avoided each other until enough time had passed that we could go on like nothing had ever happened. As the service started, I was jolted out of my thoughts and into the present. The pastor whose church was being used for the service read the obituary, and then the three other pastors participating began to share. Each of them were friends with my dad, and as they spoke, I felt the reality of what was lost begin to settle in. I never got to know the man they were talking about. He won't give me my diploma when I finish high school, and he won't walk me down the aisle at my wedding. I didn't know him. I can feel emotion building in me and tears threatening to fall. I clench my jaw and focus all my energy on stopping them. I don't want anyone to see me cry. I am successful. No tears fall. A glance down the row at my mom showed me she hadn't managed to abide by her own instructions. I am aware of a smug sense of self-satisfaction. She's crying and I'm not. Then I stop listening so I don't have to feel anymore. We went from the borrowed church to the cemetery and then back to the tiny town where we lived for the reception at the fire hall. Tables and chairs filled the space where the fire trucks were usually parked. There are so many people. Most of the tables are already filled with people eating and visiting, and someone got my mom settled into a spot at one of the tables. So many people. I got food, talked to people, accepted the hugs and words of condolences they offered. And as soon as it seemed like I could sneak away without being noticed, I went home and changed. Then I went back to check on my mom. More hugs, more people, more reminders of what was lost. Finally, nearly everyone was gone, and my mom was finally ready to go home. My brother Matt drove us the block home. As we got home, Mom got out of the van, and immediately her legs gave out, and she fell to the ground. My brothers both looked to me, expecting me to know what we should do. I don't know. I can't tell them that. They need me to know what to do, because there's no one else to ask. We are on our own. So this is the part I didn't think through really well, was how to transition from that to the next thing. But as I was reading, right, I'm sure you noticed there were parts where I was a lot more emotional and parts where words came a little bit easier. It's different every time I read this story. But the thing that I'm thankful for today is the redemption, because part of where my tears where the most today, as I read this story, was talking about how at the funeral, when I was holding my tears back, right? That is redemption. That is repentance. Repentance is being able to do it different, right? I can do it different today. So when I read this story with my story group, and what happens in a story group is people have a chance to ask you questions. We're not going to try to do that today. Sorry, guys. You're out of luck. But, you know, hopefully you felt something connected to something in yourself and your own story as I was reading my story. You know, there's things in that story that I read that are themes in my life. And those themes have shown up in almost every story I've ever written, right? Some of them are more obvious, some of them are less obvious, but they're there. And so when I read this to the group and the group interacted with it, then the story group that I've been doing, you do your story a second time, but the second time you engage it with the group, it's really open to you, whatever you want to do. And for me, with this particular story, as it was time for me to re-engage it, in fact, shortly after I read it, I knew exactly what I needed to do. Because I remember very vividly the letter that I wrote my dad and put in his casket. And as I thought about the story and what I know now and what I wish I'd known then and what I wish people in my life at that time had been able to say to me, ways that I wish they had been able to care for me, I realized that I needed to write my dad a new letter to replace the letter that I had put in the casket with him. And I think this new letter has a lot more truth in it than the first letter I wrote. And like, I took this letter last spring. I was out in North Dakota for my cousin's daughter's graduation. And I stopped at my brother's house. And on the way from my brother's house into town, I stopped at the cemetery where my dad is buried. And I sat at his grave and I read him this letter. Dad, I heard you and Mom talking early the day you died. I didn't get up and tell you happy anniversary. I regret that. And I regret not telling you I loved you more often. Until you were gone, I just thought I hated you. Then as soon as it was too late, I realized that I loved you too. I had a lot of hope about us, about the ways our relationship would get better as I got older. I longed for the day that your and my relationship looked like the relationship I saw you had with your parents. I need you to know some things. Things I couldn't express back then, but I'm able to now. I needed a dad. I needed you to see past my anger and belligerence and see me. See my hurt and my pain. I needed you to ask me what was wrong, what happened, and I needed you to keep asking me patiently and gently until I could find the words I needed and trust that you really wanted to know. I needed you to affirm me, my character, my goodness, my beauty, my being. I needed you to model repair after there was a fight between us. I needed to know that I mattered to you as something other than bragging rights because of my accomplishments. I needed to know I could tell you anything. I needed to know you would listen and wait patiently as I struggled to find the words. I needed you to notice when my behavior changed and wonder why, and believe that it was caused by something more than me being rebellious or difficult. I needed you to put my needs over your own and over Mom's. I needed your protection. I thought the state of our relationship was all my fault. It wasn't. I wasn't the adult, I was the child. After our big fight, I needed you to seek me out, to repair, not ignore and avoid me. I lived in fear that you were going to kick me out. I needed you to see me, and I needed you to hear me. Some of what I said was true. I needed you to acknowledge and own those parts. Dad, I love you, and I'm not going to take full responsibility for the state of our relationship anymore. I was a child, you were an adult. I needed you to be the adult. I needed you to pursue me, to encourage me, to speak life to me. I needed you to fight for me, to fight for my heart. I am stepping out of your shoes and putting on my own. I am laying down what was never mine to carry. I'm not responsible to make sure Mom is happy or all of her needs are met. I'm leaving all of that at the cross, and I'm running to my Heavenly Father, to my life, not yours. Those words are as true today as they are as they were the day I wrote them for me. And it's not easy to remember the things that I wanted to do differently, right? It's not easy to remember that it's not my fault. But God is a God of redemption, right? And our stories are stories of redemption, right? And we get to write our stories in partnership with God. It doesn't matter what happened in your, it does matter what happened in your childhood. I need to say this the right way. But what was true for you growing up is not what has to be true for you today, right? Because of Jesus, we can write a different ending to our story. We can have a different day-to-day of our story. I can't tell you all the ways that my life has changed since I wrote this letter and sort of put responsibility where responsibility needed to be for me in my story. I've got a long way to go, but you know what? Who I am today is a lot different than who I was a year ago, because I'm learning to live as if what I wrote is the truth, because it is the truth. You know, Jesus came, and the Bible says that the truth sets us free. Well, here's some of the truth, right? Life is complicated, life is messy, and there is good and bad in each and every one of us, right? And I'm sure we've all heard the old saying, I don't know if it's a Native American saying or whatever, but, you know, the two dogs, a good dog and a bad dog or wolf or whatever it is, and the one you feed the most is the one that wins, right? Our life in following Jesus is a battle between good and evil. It's not between people. It's about good and evil. And Jesus came so that evil didn't have to triumph, so that evil couldn't triumph, right? But when those evil tendencies or characteristics rise up in us, we all have a choice to make, right? We can own it truthfully, and we can seek to repent and repair for the ways that it's brought damage and caused harm into the lives of the people around us. Or we can just shrug our shoulders and go on as if nothing happened. I don't want to go on like nothing happened, right? I want to speak the truth. I want the truth to come to life, and I want good, kindness, truth to triumph right? Jesus tells us that the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. Those aren't necessarily big ways. He does it in little, tiny, sneaky ways. He tried to kill and destroy and steal. He did steal, kill, and destroy in my relationship with my earthly dad, right? I can't get that back. And you know what? Even if my dad was alive, I might not have been able to get that back. Just, there's not always a fairy tale ending, as painful as that is to admit. But Jesus, right? The cross. Jesus lets me bridge that. Jesus lets me experience all of the things that I didn't get from my earthly father. All of the things that I can never get from him. Again, part I didn't think through was how to close this out. But I wanted to read a little bit about, this is from a book called The Healing Path by Dan Allender. And it's kind of the best way I can think to close, I guess. So he's recounting a conversation that he had with his son. And then he just kind of summarizes a little bit about healing. So before I read this part, though, just, you know, it's Thanksgiving. We're talking about thankfulness, right? For me, this is relevant because I'm thankful for healing, right? I'm thankful for healing. So he says, you are the only you this world will know. And something about your life is meant to make something about God known in a way no one else can do. It's my favorite sentence from this book. The healing path does not lead directly to healing, but to engagement. First, we are called by God into relationship with him. We are also called into service for him. To serve God is to bring our story to him and allow our life themes to make God's story known to others. Our common calling is to make known the glory of God, even when we do the most basic things of life like eating and drinking. A radical life begins with the premise that I exist for God and for his purposes, not my own. Yeah. I could keep reading a lot more quotes from the book, but I'm just going to stop there. But, you know, today I shared a little bit of my story with you, and I hope and pray and believe that God had a reason for me doing this. Well, it's not a hope. I know there was a reason for me doing it, right? And whatever parts of your story that got touched today, right? Don't just stuff it in a box and ignore it. Talk to it with somebody who loves you, who cares about you, who you know is a safe place for you. Bring it to God. Have conversations with God about it. Spend time with yourself, right? Ask yourself, like, what's coming up for me? What else do I need? What do you want me to remember? What do you want to tell me? Right? We are all, the culmination of all of our experiences of life are still with us. Every age we've been, we have stories. And we're all here. We all survived. Right? Our little ones all have things to tell us. And those things will bring us closer to God if we listen. So, worship team, are you guys game to do another song, or should I just close? All right. I'm going to pray as you guys are coming up. I just got a look from Posa. So, let me just pray quickly here. Father, I just thank you that, God, you are good. And Father, I thank you that you do not leave us alone. You do not leave us in the darkness. And Father, I pray for each and every person here today, God, where they were touched and stirred. Father, I pray that they will know your arms of love around them today as they go through the rest of their day. In Jesus' name.